afternoon and evening. So we will practically start the initiation right after the puja. And so Mr. Bhagavatam class will have a class of initiation tomorrow. And then let us take our program. Or should we start the program after breakfast? Ramana, what's your take on that? Or should we try to finish it by 10 o'clock? We will be able to finish it by 10. But 8 to 8:30 can be the hours.
Yeah, okay.
Is there already the breakfast because 10 o'clock tomorrow? The other idea is you can have breakfast at 8 o'clock by the time of the year and then go into initiation. What do you think? Whatever. Do you know what you think?
Breakfast at
10. So we just have the initiation. What if it goes on Tuesday and Thursday? That's what I was actually considering. Like if it takes longer. I mean, initiation lecture came down, it goes until about 2:09. And then there are about 40 candidates for first initiation. So even if we take, each one takes 1 minute, so it's 40 minutes. So let's say it's 1 hour, and fire sacrifice half an hour.
So yeah,
10:15, then we can finish. How many of you are leaving tomorrow morning? Is anyone leaving? Okay. Hey, when you're leaving in the morning? What time? Then you can take breakfast down here. Right, since you have to leave, you can take your breakfast. Anyway, those who are leaving early can take breakfast. Or else, what about this idea? Breakfast at 8 o'clock. Initiation starts at 9. You mind? How many of you guys will have breakfast at 8 o'clock? Okay, once again. How many of you would like to have breakfast at 8 o'clock? How many of you would like to have your breakfast at 9 or so? And how many of you would not like to have any breakfast at all? Okay then, breakfast at 8. Initiation starts at 9.
And then we can sleep
as it goes on. Okay, and about the reciting the English translation, let's have the thing else with language. Just make about 150 words.
Not 150 words.
How many of you already know the translation? Locally words. Okay, so we need it. So, yesterday we considered the chapter 20 and chapter 23. So, I'll read the summary. The process of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga are explained in this chapter. In terms of the presence of different good and bad qualities in particular candidates. The Vedic Shastra, the words expressing the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In these Vedic literatures, we found an outlook of duality based on such concepts of the biological system, and at the same time, Vedas reject the dualities, dualistic visions. Uttama desiring to understand the reason why the scriptures contain such conflicting ideas and how these might be reconciled, inquired from Lord Sri Krishna about this matter. In response, the Supreme Lord replied that the Vedas describe the processes of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga for facilitating the attainment of liberation. Karma Yoga is designed for those persons who are not detached and who are full of gross desires. Jnana Yoga is for those who are detached from the fruits of activity and have given up material desires. And Bhakti Yoga is for those persons who have taken to the principles of Yukta Vaidyatya, appropriate renunciation. As long as one has not become uninterested in enjoying the fruits of one's work, or as long as one stays in the topics of discussion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead on the path of devotional service, has not awakened, then one must continue to fulfill all the prescribed duties of his karma. But neither the renunciant nor the devotee of the Supreme Lord needs to carry out ritualistic duties. Persons who follow their own duties, who abandon that which is forbidden, and who are free from the greed and other unhealthy characteristics, attain either monistic knowledge or else, if they are fortunate, devotion to the Supreme Personality of God. Okay, maybe at this point we can discuss.
Now,
the very wonderful point Krishna is making. To begin with, this chapter is actually describing the process of Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and leading to Bhakti and establishing the supremacy of consciousness. And Uddhava actually saw a duality in the Vedic instructions. That Buddha's consideration was why the scriptures contain conflicting ideas, as the outlook sometimes displays some duality based on the concept of varnashram, and at the same time Veda rejects the duality. Accepts the duality and rejects the duality. So why is that? So answering that, Krishna in simple words is pointing out that karma yoga is actually meant for those who are attached to sense gratification. There will be people who are attached to sense gratification. You say, no matter how much you tell them, don't become attached. They won't be able to, because their very basic tendency is to attach. Their tendency is to enjoy. So, the Veda is not forcing anyone to unnaturally access. Vedas are actually gradually preparing one to transcend from one platform. Like when describing about Tantra aspect of the Veda, like the other day I just mentioned, the Tantra has various types of activities. Like there is one type of activities are known as animalistic rituals. Animalistic
Yes, some people are like animals.
But through this process, they are not promoting their animalistic propensity, but helping them to overcome this animalistic. Like this, this is the purpose of the yogic injunction. Let them go through it, but then transcend. Because otherwise, if they try to avoid it, unnaturally, abnormally, then it won't work. It won't work because this tendency will come back somewhere. If the desire to bear is a power, no matter how much you try to suppress that, at some time, like we have seen so many times, some individuals take sannyas prematurely. And then what happens? After taking sannyas, they fall. That means the desire to enjoy, God said, they are not prepared to renounce. And because the desire was there, it just came back again. So, there is a thing, go through that. Go through that. I mean, lead them to that, take them to that process. And then bring them to the point of message. So, jnana is actually leading to renunciation. Karma is leading to enjoyment. But through that, but how to enjoy? They prescribe. So because they are following the process in a prescribed way, they are going to become free from that effort and come to the platform. Eventually come to the platform of jnana. And jnana we need to bring up here. But transcending the platform of both karma and jnana is pure goodness. Here also we have to understand what is karma and karma yoga and jnana yoga. Karma with devotion is karma. Not any karma is karmic. Karma with devotion is karmic. Jnana with devotion is jnana. And when the devotion just prevails, becoming free from the tendency of karma and jnana, that is pure devotion. And in pure devotion, the wonderful thing about pure devotional service, there is no need to go through those experiences. There is no need to enjoy. Those who are attached to enjoyment, devotional services provide that enjoyment automatically. Automatically, like people like to eat, okay, eat Krishna consciousness. People like to do various activities, do it as service. So action is karma, inaction is jnana. But this action, when rendered for Krishna, it is karma. It is pure emotion. Action purely for the sake of Krishna. And that means purifying. Pure devotional service, that's what Krishna pointed out, that even when it is unqualified, even if one falls down in the spiritual practice, while you render devotional service, it won't matter. Because he can do it. Because he has a very solid shelter. Like shelter in the sense, even if one falls down, Krishna's hands are there devotees' hands are there to pick him up and help him to go. So that's why devotional service and desire for liberation can be compared with this. The endeavor for devotion, desire for liberation is a singular endeavor, independent endeavor, lonesome endeavor. It's like climbing a mountain alone. When you're trying to climb a mountain alone, and if you have an accident, finish. But devotional service is something like climbing the mountain with a group of other mountaineers. So when you're climbing the mountain with a group of other mountaineers, and if you fall, if you have some accident, they will carry you. First they will carry you to safety, where you get the treatment, you get cured, and then you start climbing. So that is the advantage of devotion, which is exhibited in the association of devotees. And on top of everything, in devotional service, Krishna is there. Even if you have an accident, Krishna will be there. And in a way to see that Krishna is helping through the devotees. So that is the unique benefit of devotion. Even if one has spiritual difficulties, he will overcome that because he is in association with devotees. Whereas in Jnana, that opportunity is not there. It's a lonesome journey. All by myself. If someone is very powerful, they probably can succeed, but most of the time they have difficulties. Persons who follow their own duty, who abandon that which is forbidden, and who are free from greed and other unhealthy characteristics, attain other monistic knowledge, or else, if they're fortunate, devotion to the Supreme Personality of God. So, those who are practicing the Jnana Karma section, or those who are practicing the Jnana Yoga, they have two ways of opening to them. One is, they are trying to reject the forbidden or undesirable activities through the monistic knowledge. Or the other possibility is, if they're fortunate, then Jnana will lead them to the point of devotion. But again, what creates that good fortune? That good fortune is created by the devotees of the Lord. It is because of the association they get to understand the actual benefit of being engaged in devotion. Until the mind is finally become stable, one should continue to meditate about the process of the creation of material things in sequence, from subtle to gross, and of their destruction in reverse sequence of gross to subtle. One who has a sense of detachment and renunciation can give up all the identification with the body and other sense objects by constantly studying the instructions of the spiritual mind. That is the bottom line. Being guided by the spiritual master and following the instructions of the spiritual master, one actually becomes, actually is able to succeed in this matter. Only one on one's own is very difficult to succeed in this matter. Spiritual life begins, spiritual life begins with accepting one of the spirituals. That is seen in Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada very clearly explained that, or clarified that. That Arjuna gave so many reasons, so many things. Krishna was contesting. Krishna was not telling, no, that's not right. Arjuna was speaking. This will happen, that will happen, if we kill the elders of the society, and, you know, like, the whole society will be doomed as a result of this battle, Krishna himself. But the moment Arjuna said, Shishya Sriram Shati Mahaprabhu, the moment Arjuna said that I am surrendering myself to you as your disciple, so please enlighten me, please dispel my doubt, they know the Krishna status. So the spiritual master will impart the knowledge to a deserving candidate. And what makes one deserving is submissive attitude. Sometimes we see devotees, some individuals, some devotees, because devotees are free from that characteristic. Some individuals already take initiation, but they are not prepared to listen to the spiritual. So that initiation is only an external show. And sometimes we even see that some disciples want to even instruct the spiritual. Why did you do that? You shouldn't have done that. It happens very often. Then what is the spiritual doing? It's okay. If you're bad, why is it good? Why do you have no way? I'm not going to take you this. The spiritual master will instruct only the deserving candidate, and we need to listen. That's why the instruction of Bhagavad Gita is Sattvishti Pranipatena Parikrishna Shiva. Pranipatena, the first qualification is surrender, approving the Sattvishti attitude. So that is the important consideration in the spiritual life that Krishna is pointing out time and time. That one must accept the spiritual master and then only it will, the spiritual path will open. So in this way, anyway, Krishna ends this chapter. And then I went through the chapter 23. I'll briefly go through that and I'll open up the question after that. Chapter 23 is the anecdote of the Avanti Brahmana. Or in simple words, we can say Uchaya. Because Avanti is Uchaya. Avanti. In Avanti, this city is actually very, very important. This city came about practically at the time of creation. To consider the history of this city, how the development took place. Do you remember at the beginning, the demons and demigods were churning the ocean, milk ocean, to get the milk. And when the name Anandari came up with the nature and with Dover, then they started to fight among themselves. Anandari gave it to the demigods. But the demons said, no, we will have it. So they grabbed the pot and they started to choice. We have. And in the struggle, few drops of nectar fell on this lush land. Like four drops fell from four different four drops fell at four different places. And from that time onward, the Kumbh Mela started. On that occasion, people come here to the airport. And those four places are Prayag, Hariwar, Nasik, so that means from that time this city actually was existing. Right from the time of the beginning of creation. So it is not a city that they developed just some years ago. Anyway, in the city of Ujjain or Avanti, there was a Brahmana who was a merchant who was involved in business. And he was very, very wealthy. Although he was very wealthy, but he was also very mighty. Only in those days we just come across black and white. I don't think there are, people are not that mindful nowadays. Today's world is the world of consumerism. The culture is consumer. That is the thing. And people also don't store their fuel. They keep it in a bank. Previous goods are cheaper. So this is how the attachment was there. But nowadays, kind of considerably the attachment has been taken away. Rather, people are into spending money, not saving money. But in the past, the tendency was to save for children, especially for some issues. So, this Avanti Brahmana was very wealthy, at the same time, very mindful. You are so mindful that you can allow these family members to have proper food. Like, why do you need sushi? Why do you need dal? Rice is there and salt is there. Just be happy with that. At least, after all, it's just a matter of getting the stomach. And if it's still empty, then fill it up with water. That was the attitude of the person. And not only he would allow his family members to have the very basic requirements fulfilled, but he for himself also he would not. But unfortunately, at one point, he started to lose money and he lost everything. And when he lost everything, then his family members, even including his servants, his family members, friends, relatives, now they just wanted to take him back with his own coin. So when he himself did not have anything, they just also did not want to offer him. That attitude of, what did you do for us that we came for you? Get lost. You fed for yourself. That's how you treated us. When you were dependent upon you, you did not even give us a fair minimum. So why do you expect a good treatment from us now? So in this way, even his family members, his friends, and relatives started to treat him in a very harsh way. So this Pamati Brahmana became very hurt and in this sad state of mind, he felt, now what's the point of doing this world with this family, with this surrounding? They were here for me. So why should I stay here? So Pamati Brahmana left home and took some. And even when he took sannyas and he was traveling, taking the vow of silence, people started to take advantage of his situation. They started thinking that he was just an ordinary madman. They started to mistreat him in very unpleasant. And in this way, the proper realization dawned in our thinking that after all, whatever is happening in this material nature is a reaction of God. I treated badly, therefore they treated me the same. And I had acquired all the bad karmas for myself. Therefore I'm getting the results of my karma. People are not here treating me bad, it's only I who is getting the reactions of my own man. They're simply the medium through which the karmic reaction is coming back to me. So this is the real wisdom. And this is how a saintly person should consider when he is treated badly, then my karma is coming back. At the same time, he also should see that through this bad treatment, there is some lesson to learn. Krishna wants me to learn from them. Anyway, so then understanding these reality, the Avanti Brahmana and the Sannyasina, with the Sannyasina, he started singing a song, which was actually explaining all these points. It's a beautiful prayer. You all remember yesterday we recited the Sanskrit verse together, which ends with the verse, Etamsa Astaya Paratma Nishtam Adhyasitam Purvatamai Maharshi Aham Karishyami Duranta Param Samurmasam Kriyashi. Etam Sastmaya Paratma Nishtham. Paratma Nishtham means being fixed in the superstore. Have you crossed this across this dangerous, insurmountable ocean, material nature of darkness, throughout the body, by taking shelter of Namo Mukunda Mukundi Shevayam, by rendering unavoidable devotional service to the lotus feet. Following the footsteps of Purvatamayi Maharshi, the exalted personality, the exalted devotees of the cross. So first of all, This process is nothing new. This process has been practiced by the previous Acharya. The following day, footsteps I did. Overcome this ocean of material nature. I'll get across the ocean of material by taking shelter of Mukunda's lotus feet. So, from this, what we learn? That when difficult is come, we should learn this. Enjoyment in the material nature is not actually beneficial for us, it's actually detrimental. Enjoyment in material nature is not really beneficial. Because the enjoyment of happiness, good situation in material nature keeps us. Therefore, it is better to suffer. It is better to be mistreated by others instead of being treated nicely in a very wonderful, happy situation. And then we are watching what will happen. It will be difficult to cut the bondage. The tendency will be to think, oh, Everything is so wonderful. How can I leave it? Therefore, it is better that everything becomes unpleasant. Then we will be okay. Who wants to be in this situation? Let us cut all my attachments. And the best way to find perfection in our endeavors is by taking shelter of Krishna lotus. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, both in the name and the giving away.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, Mr. So, in the Surashadara, in Bhagavad Gita, it says, Manushyanam Sarvasya. One means the first who gives the humility that you know that Krishna is there, devotees are there. So, how you can interpret Krishna said, Manushyanam, very good question being from Krishna.
Yeah. So, the path of devotional service, the spiritual path, is like sharp as a razor's edge. So, can you imagine walking on razor's edge? First of all, how thin is it, but how thick is the razor's edge? How broad, how wide is the razor's edge? It's very, very painful shot. Like a little mistake you cut. Now, as you were saying, that Manushyanam tries to issue. So, yeah, it is Manushyanam Shalasretu, Shalasretu, out of thousands and thousands of people, not only thousands, millions and millions of people going to that. Out of millions and millions of people, rarely one master the art of walking on the river. Not that everybody can walk. And the thing is that mastering the art is so wonderful that when you know how to walk on that path, that what appears otherwise to be a little place, like little things, becomes a national thing. From the road to one thing. Yes. If you try to shape the path without having proper guidance, Because to learn something you need to have the how to walk on that little stage, you have to have the proper guidance. But when you have the proper guidance and then you master the art of walking on the little stage, then you see that it's not little stage. It's a broad, beautiful path with trees on both sides. Fruit bearing and flower bearing trees on both sides of the road. It's an avenue. There's wells of nectar. So that is the path. But very rarely one is to understand. Hear us? Okay, here's the mic.
Prince of Eternity. Like you mentioned, Prabhu mentioned. So, how the Prabhu Leela is important to a devotee? Can the one should attend Prabhu Leela? Prabhu Leela.
Being detached from Vishayana, object.
Jakarta mukulin siya.
Take whatever is necessary in relation to Krishna. Krishna samvarti in relation to Krishna. Like for example, Vishaya. Okay, in order to understand it properly, there is another consideration. What is Vaipa Vaipa? Praposhika Paya Buddha Hari Sampandhi Vasuna Mumukshuhi Paritya without control. Prapanship means considering the material. Prapanshika Paya Buddha Hari Sampandhi Vasuna. The Vastu, the object, that is in relation to Hari, that is in relation to Hari, that is the object that could have been engaged in serving Hari. This was Prabhu Jika Kaya Bhutta Hari Sambhuti Vastuna. Mumukshu is what is that? Mumukshu means desiring to attain liberation. It is or he said, desires to become detached in order to attend in liberation, he rejects that. That is called falseness. You see the difference? The main consideration is to serve Hari. For the sake of serving Hari, we should accept whatever it is. But with the mood of anashana krishna, with the mood of it.
Guru Maharaj, the second question is that you spoke so much about being under the shelter of a spiritual master. And in the second summary, you see that the Vandita of Brahma, he got all realization all by himself in meditation.
That is not true. If that good spiritual master may not have been mentioned, but he must have the spiritual master. Otherwise, how could his son to say things like that?
It was not in the word realization. So it's not developed in the
scripture. No, he took initiation. But in course he got the realization. Going to the next week. Shining the
question. Very good.
I can hear better this way.
Yesterday you mentioned that this last verse of the song, Srila Prabhupada, out of interest, I was reading the first one to this yoga. So there is mentioned about the three kinds of samadhi, which we are. But it also mentions that we add another one kind of, which is for the jiva.
Okay. Yeah. So, although it's called three dandas, but actually there is chatur dandas, four dandas. One danda is spirit soul. Three dandas are body, mind, and words. They are symbolic to body, mind, and words. Meaning, body, mind, and words are in the presence of the Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord is there as a witness. Okay? Ojashri?
Hare Krishna Guhar. Can you explain about the chanting of the body element?
Chanting of what?
Body element.
Okay.
Without Shobhanti Sudaram, how can one achieve?
Okay, to answer that, I'll ask you, what is the 10 offenses? Yes, you know the 10 offenses. Huh? What's the 7th offense? What's the 2nd offense? state of the mind.
Would the leaders as the senators and Krishna's kingdom make their presence?
Correct? You don't dictate. I didn't ask you. Yes, so this is the problem. You should know what are the 10 offenses and guard yourself against the 10 offenses. Then only you will be able to send you. So today, memorize those 10 offenses. Alright? I'll ask you again. You have 10 hours.
Okay. As you told us better to suffer if relying on Krishna. So if you can one try to overcome from the three types of misery in one suffering. So at what extent the suffer to try to overcome these misery, Adi Mogi and Jay from that? So how much in the issue to come from the or if you remain suffering or
when one thinks to devotional service, those companies automatically. Yes, sir. Yeah. Like Bhagavatam is actually mentioned. Tritap Mulana. Tritap means four and three kind people. Unmulana. When one takes shelter of Krishna's lotus, that's three. Or in misery, so, okay, let me just answer another question. So, this one is Sridharma Mohan Das, Pune, Hare Krishna Maharaj, Dandara Pranam. How to not get affected by misery and how we can concentrate on our devotional service? Again, the same answer. How not to get affected by misery. The best way of not getting affected by the misery is to uproot the misery. If the miseries are not there, then there is no question of getting affected by misery. And the way to uproot the misery is by surrender to Krishna, surrender to Krishna. And how to concentrate on our devotional service. Continue to practice devotional service and eventually when you get the keys, the concentration is automatic. Rohit from Kolkata. Is it true that gold is considered to be like yellow? My God. He used a very unpleasant word. He can use the word stew. Anyway, Rohit, try to be a little polite about your expression. If yes, then please can you give me where it is maintained? Gold is not true. Gold is one of the most pure things. And that's why when Hiranyaksha took the gold away, earth lost its balance and fell into the middle. But the gold is produced out of the seed of water. The gold is actually the outcome of Lord Shiva's sin. I don't know where you got it from. That can you give me where that it has been said? I am not saying, you are saying, so you tell me where. If we wear Krishna pendant with gold chain, is it okay? Yes, you can, if you can afford it, it's okay. Thank you. So, another question from Vinod Kumar from Dubai. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank God. How can I identify 400,000 human beings? Keep counting. Thank you. difficult to identify them because it has been pointed out that this is not from external teachers, because all human beings happen to look alike. All human beings look alike. So this piece is like, say for example, the animal pieces, different types of animals, different types of insects, different types of reptiles. You can see different types. But human beings practically all look alike. It is only a matter of mental makeup. It's a matter of consciousness.
It may be all the universe capable of making for
that. Like universe generally are the earth planet. Human beings are the earth planet. Earth planet is made for human beings. In sun planet there are human beings. In sun planet there are demigods. In upper planetary system, there are demigods. In lower planetary system, there are different other entities. Okay, I will end now. So then I will stop. Thank you very much. Go take breakfast. Go with the community.